This is a true saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship with him, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. You know, I think just these little mission trips that Tim's made to Haiti. In fact, I got real tickled. When I went over to see him yesterday afternoon when we got back, he just got back Saturday night about 10:30, and Friday night about 10:30 himself. He was out mowing the yard yesterday afternoon about 4 or 5 o'clock whenever we got in. I guess it's 5 o'clock when we got in. And so I went over there to just say hi, and of course he wanted to unload on me, you know. So I just sat down in the chair there in that 107-degree heat and listened to him talk. And so, you know, he was telling me, he said, you know, one of the classes they went to that there was going to teach, he said, there was, I don't know, 40 or 50 18, 20-year-old men and women there, and they were supposedly Christians. And so he said they was going to ask our little team of 4 or 5 people some questions, and there were 6 people, whatever it was. And he said that... one of the boys, he said, I know what he was trying to do. He said, as we were standing there, he said, if we're Christians or you're Christians from America and you want to show us what it is to live a Christian life, it says, if you're supposed to be like Jesus, then Jesus, God the Father gave his own son, Jesus, to die for you and me. So we have a question. Would you give your child, your son, to die for us? Tim said, the rest of y'all sit down. I'll take that one. He said, I got up and told him, I said, look, I'm going to tell you, I was born a sinner too. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know none of you down here. And I know my son. And I guarantee I would never give my son for none of you. He said, I don't love none of you that much. But he said, I'm born a sinner just like you are. And so you need to get over this. There ain't but one can come and pay the price for your sins. And he's already come paid that price. And there ain't nobody else can pay that price for you. And he said, he got a standing ovation. They was expecting him to be up there and be timid and say, well, I guess under ideal conditions I might be willing to give my son's life for one of you. But I have made that statement several times. Don't you ever come and ask me to give Tim's life for one of y'all, because there ain't nobody I love more than I love him. I am not going to give his life for nobody. I don't care who they are. They ain't another boy on this earth. I don't care who it was. It's your son, or I don't care who it is, your cousin, or nobody else. But they're going to die before my son does. I am not going to give my son for your son. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? I love that little guy. Jesus died for him, and Jesus died for the other one. But there ain't nobody else can die for one after that. So, you know, don't come and ask me to give my son for nobody, because we ain't going there. I ain't going to give him. I don't love you that much. Y'all understand? You know, if you stop and think, you'd probably do the same thing, right? You say, yeah, I may love Pastor Thurman a whole lot, but I ain't giving my son for him, guarantee you. You know, I'll let him die first, but I ain't giving my son for him. So that's just the way life is, I'll tell you. But this is... I said, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. Now, sometimes you think about reigning with the Lord. That sounds good, but reigning with someone sometimes can be a battle. You know, and you may die in the battle. So, you know, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Reigning with someone, but he says, if we deny him, he will deny us. The next verse. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind everyone of these things and command them in God's name to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. You know, that's why if you go to listen to God's word, you need to find a seasoned speaker. Somebody that has been teaching the Word of God and walking in it and walking in God's power and His Spirit for years, and then you can depend on what He says. You know, I mean, I don't know. Weston, what subject did you teach in the university? Okay, School of Management, okay. In other words, probably, how many years did you teach those things? 16 and a half years. So you think you've probably done a better job the 16th year than you did the first semester? Now then, just think, somebody went to school, where the university where he was teaching was in his first class. We all had those, right? But more than likely, the guy that came out of there when he'd been there 16 years said, boy, he's a pretty good professor. You know, because you'd probably learned a lot of things in 16 years, right? You learned a lot from the students too. But you know, that's the way it is. All of us have to start somewhere, right? And as we go along, when you have 15 or 20 years of experience in a subject, you're going to be a much, much better teacher than you were when you first started. You know, I mean, I know, I've been there and done that. So remind every one of these things and command them in God's name to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. So verse 15 and 16. Work hard so God can approve you. I don't think the church knows what that means, to work hard. I work with people all the time, and I just stand in awe of the people that don't know what it is to work hard. I mean, if it gets 90 degrees, we want to find a shade. You know, we don't want to be out there working. You know, we want to be in the air conditioning and work hard. Well, you know, I mean, okay. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Now, I'll tell you what, to correctly explain the word of truth, you got to spend some serious hours with God in His word. I can remember the number of hours that I had been in electronics and the years I'd studied electricity. And the classes I'd been to in electricity, and many years I had studied it. And then when I went to one of the engineering classes I went to, they was teaching an absolute alternator system and how it worked. And the guy that was teaching it, this was his first time through. And he got so confused with how it was supposed to work. I mean, you could tell the students were trying to ask questions. They didn't want to, you know, make fun of him or anything, but he just couldn't get it going. So I finally stood up and I said, sir, I said, maybe you haven't had as much experience in electronics as I have. I said, could I explain to this class how that electronic circuit works? I said, I've had a lot of experience with that. He said, of course, be my guest. He just handed it off to me in a heartbeat. So I got up and started from the very beginning. I went through the whole thing in detail and slowly explained how every part of it worked, everything, how it worked in the whole nine yards. And in about 30 or 40 minutes, I got through and I says, now, is there any questions? And it was one or two simple little questions, but everybody said, man, that was so simple. We got it. And so I left the class and the instructor came up and he said, wow, I even understand it now. But see, that's the difference. Although that was my first time in that class, I had numerous hours of electronic instruction from other professors from other places. In fact, when I started teaching engineering at Braniff to their engineers, I had to write the whole program. And when I wrote the program, when it come to the electricity, I had a 3-day class on electricity, 8 hours, 3 days, 8 hours. And I had some guys in my class that had master's degrees in several different things. But the whole class told me after we finished those 3 days, I said, well, we're going to have 3 days of electricity. So get everything lined up, get your notepads and be ready to take notes because I talk pretty fast and we'll cover a lot in 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, one of the boys stood up and he said, sir, I have one statement to make. I said, what? He said, I had a full semester of electricity in college. And he said, in that full semester, they didn't cover nothing close to what you covered in 3 days. He said, I never seen anybody that covered so much information in electricity in such a short period of time. But, you know, that's just the way we designed the course, you know. And I knew my subject extremely well, so I could speak it and talk it. And, of course, all the guys had to go take the test. They all passed them, you know. So I obviously explained it where they could understand it. But that was not my first time through an electrical class, you know. So you have to learn. So then he says there, avoid godless, foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. So we sat down around the coffee table. What do you think about the Trinity? Well, I'll tell you this. Well, I don't believe that. I believe this. Well, I believe this. In other words, well, I'll tell you what, I believe this. Has anybody got a Bible? Are we going to learn this from the Word? Are we going to tell each other what we think? Well, let me tell you, that's what Christians mostly do. They tell each other what they think. Is that right, Joseph? They don't hardly ever get in the Word. I mean, they might not even have a Bible. And, well, what do you think that, why do you think this is like that? Well, because my grandmother said that's the way it worked. Well, let me tell you, your grandmother didn't know nothing about God's Word either. And so that's the way it is. Then he says in verse 17 and 18, this kind of talk spreads like cancer. Boy, does it ever. Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples of this. They have left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred, and they have undermined the faith of some. Has the resurrection from the dead already taken place? Depends on what part of it you mean, right? I mean, has the final resurrection from the dead taken place? No, it has not. But did Jesus' resurrection take place? Did all the Old Testament saints' resurrection already taken place? Yes. You know, I remember teaching that in Matthew 27:52 one time about after Jesus' resurrection, the graves opened and the Old Testament saints came out and they walked in the streets of Jerusalem all those days. And a guy said, where are you getting this information? I said, it's in Matthew 27. And he said, I've read Matthew. I've never seen that. I said, well, turn to verse 52. You don't have to hunt it. And that's exactly where it is, right there. He turned over and read that. He said, I have never seen that. But that's kind of like the other day, that Baptist lady was sitting right here at the healing school. When I read Isaiah 24 the other day, I mean, she was shocked.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God's Instrument of Gold, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.